Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Good. So, yes, it is this book of the Bible. All right, so look at chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, "Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers?" All right, so folks, I need your help in telling me, who are the recipients of this prophecy? What ethnicity are we talking about here? Israelites. And so what land are we talking about in verse 2? Say again. Palestine, right? Israel? Is that still the land of the Jews, or were they part of the Indo-European? No. Right. Palestine, right? Okay, so that's what we're talking about. Now let's look at verse number 3. "Tell ye your children of it, let your children tell their children, another generation." All right, look at verse 4. "That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. That which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. That which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten." Joel chapter 1, verse 4. Everyone see that? Consuming locust. Anyone have anything else? Destroying locust. You must have an ESV, Doug. Is that right? All right, so the ESV has destroying locust. No, righty. Destroying locust. Now, why did the King James translators use caterpillar? I don't know. All right? Not sure. All right? Destroying locust is probably the strongest translation you can get out of that. Okay? Destroying locust. Let's see what they look like. Verse 6. "A nation has come upon my land." What land? Land of Israel. All right. Now, in the context, we're talking about locusts. Four types of locusts. That they're coming in such mass that they appear to be like a nation. Let's see how they're described. "A nation has come upon my land, strong without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion." So these destroying locusts have the teeth of a lion. Interesting. All right. "And he hath the cheek teeth of great lion." I suppose those are the teeth I had taken out when I was 18. Wisdom teeth, are those cheek teeth? I don't know. That's another. All right, now look at verse 9. "The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord." All right, so what do locusts eat?
Grain.
Grain, right? "And meat offering" is the King James rendering. Does anyone have anything else in their lap?
Grain
offering. So the locusts are coming to cut off the capability of the Israelites to offer grain offerings. See that? Now, let's take a fast forward look, if we could, to look at chapter 2, verse 12. "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, mourning." Look here, verse 13. "Rend your heart and not your garments." So what were the Jews really good at, folks? Tearing their garments, so they were really good at acting religious. Part of that religious act was offering grain offerings. And God said, "I'm so sick of your hypocrisy that I'm going to bring locusts in your direction that's going to take away your capability of offering false offerings." So sick of it. It'd be like if he was talking today, he'd say, "I'm so tired of your false religion that I'm going to bring an arson to burn your church building down." Something like that. All right, so look at, back to chapter 1, let's look at verse 15. "Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come." So, along with these destroying locusts, we have this mentioning of the day of the Lord. Destroying locusts with teeth like lions, and they are coming around the day of the Lord. Okay? Everyone see that? Look at verse 2 of chapter 2. "A day of darkness, of gloominess, a day of clouds, of thick darkness." Apparently this is a day of darkness. The day of the Lord is a day of darkness. All right. Look at verse 3. "A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns." So before and after the locusts come, there'll be a fire burning the land out. Scorching of the earth. All righty. What do you usually see when you see fire? Smoke, right? So we have this day of fire or smoke. All right? This is pretty important stuff. All right? You're going to take special notice of this. Please look at verse number 4 of chapter 2. The appearance of them, that is these locusts, these four types of locusts that are coming to Israel to devour the crops. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run, like the noise of chariots. They look like horses, or their mass, they look like horses, and they sound like what? They sound like chariots. All right. Why am I doing this? You'll see. All right. Verse 10 of chapter 2. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun, the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. You seen that before? Sounds like Seal 6, doesn't it? So around this day of the Lord, we have the, chaos in the cosmos. Hey, that sounds like a boxing match. Chaos in the cosmos. That almost sounds like a thriller in Manila. Chaos in the cosmos. All right. So we have all this talk here. And then just a notice, one of my favorite counseling verses is chapter 2, verse 25, when God comforts Israel and says, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the destroyer, the caterpillar. I'm going to come and restore to you the years that the destroyer has taken from you. That is great stuff. One day I'll preach on that. So, there we are. Now, let's look at the slides. We're still in the middle of talking about the seven trumpets. You might notice our chart from 2 weeks ago. We have the 144,000. Now, if you're confused as to why anything is on this chart in the manner in which it is, then I would recommend that you formulate your question, which particular part of that chart does not make sense to you, and shoot me an email. If you are on my email list, you get emails probably 3 or 4 times a week, and so just respond to one of them or send me an email, all right? Probably if you have Gmail, if you put in Bill Sturm, I'll pop up, okay? All right. And so introductory reminders. This is important, all right? I'm going to give you a few statements. We're not going to look at the passages. I just want you to log away the statements I'm going to give you, and I'll show you where you can find them. The sermons that I'm going to show you that these truths are found in, I'll include in the email today with today's lesson. Okay? So, first of all, Satan fell from heaven. Probably you would agree right away with that. There's where I taught on it. Okay? I'm going to send you the link for that today. Number 2. During the 3 days of his death, Jesus went to hell. Sheol, Hades. We've talked about that probably 3 different times in here in the last 3 years. There's where I taught on it to our 12th grade Bible class, I think 2 school years ago. I'll send you the link today in the email. Number 3. Certain fallen angels cohabited with human women and earned an early confinement in hell or Tartarus. There's where I taught on it. I'll send you the link today in the email. Are you seeing a pattern? All right. I'm trying to cover some ground here. All right, so we have 3 statements so far. The 4th statement. The 6th seal occurs before the day of the Lord. The 6th seal of Revelation occurs before the day of the Lord. There's where I taught on it. I'll send it to you today in the email. Okay? So there's our chart again. Let me add one more thing to it. Whoop, over there. See it? Day of the Lord happens after the 6th seal, that happens after the tribulation period. Does everyone see that? Okay. If there's any lack of clarity, let me know. Now then, let's look at Revelation chapter number 1. We're still preparing to get to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter number 1. In just a moment, I'll stop for comments or questions. And we're going to look at verse number 16. I might make some notes up here on the board. Why did I give you those statements? Because remember, it's impossible to teach everything in 30 minutes in here, first of all. And second of all, we've already done it. So if you have the internet, which I'm pretty sure that 98% of you do, then if it's important enough to you, you'll either ask me about it, or you'll listen to the lesson, or read the transcript, which is usually, I think, with almost every one of those lessons I flashed up there. Okay, so we have patience. It's just a matter of we're trying to also make some new ground. All right? Good. All right, so let's look at Revelation chapter number 1 and look at verse 16. Talking about the Son of Man, in verse 16, he had in his right hand 7 stars. Okay, that's the first of 2 things I want you to see in this passage. The Son of Man has 7 stars in his hand. What are they? Look at verse 20. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in thy right hand, the 7 golden candlesticks, the 7 stars are the 7 angels of the 7 churches. All right. Remember, book of Revelation is a book of signs, a book of symbols, a book of significant language. So, all right, what are we told about stars often in the book of Revelation? They are what? They are angels. Good. What's that? Okay, look at verse 18. Here's Jesus speaking. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So we have Jesus has the keys of hell or Hades. Okay, we got that? So remember, one of the statements we started with is when Jesus was dead, he went to hell. He went to Hades. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament is Sheol. All right. Well, while he was there, apparently he picked up the keys to the house. Now look at chapter 6 of Revelation. And let's look at verse number 12 really quick. We'll look at the first phrase of verse 12. Look at verse 12. I beheld when he had opened the 6th seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake. All right. So we're talking about the 6th seal. Look at verse 17. The great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You should equate, my dear listener friend, you should equate, Bible student, you should equate 6th seal, wrath of the Lamb. Great day of the wrath of the Lamb. All right. Now, let's flip over to chapter 9. If you read the Bible through an ear, by the way, I'm so happy for you. I'm glad for you. I'm not trying to disdain that. I'm talking to those who are struggling through what to read tomorrow. Okay? And many people who are not going to read tomorrow are really trying right now to read through the Bible in a year. They started in January and stopped around January 8th. All right, so we're in chapter 9. I believe it's talking about an amazing, crazy breed of pestilence that we've never seen before that moves like an army and brings great pain. And I think we're going to see that right here. So let's look at Revelation 9. Look at verse 1. The 5th angel sounded. Remember, we're in the middle of 5 trumpets. Remember from the chart. We'll go back 1 slide. These trumpets occur right here. The last half of a future 7-year period known as the tribulation period. You won't find that word in the Bible, by the way. It's not called the tribulation period. It's called Daniel's 70th week or the time of Jacob's trouble. All right. So chapter 9, verse 1. And the 5th angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. All right. So we already talked about how Satan fell from heaven. Lucifer fell from heaven. So are we to assume that somewhere during the tribulation period he falls from heaven again? Well, if this is Satan, I don't think so. I think this is both a rehearsal of what has happened and a pick-me-up of what happens when it's given to him the key of the bottomless pit. In other words, when he, whoever it is that falls from the heaven, this star, this angel that falls from heaven, if it's Satan, if it's Lucifer, we have a couple of choices. We do. We have a couple of choices. It's either the time during creation week when he fell from heaven in Isaiah 14, which I referenced, or it's looking forward to the time in chapter 12 where halfway through the tribulation period, he falls from the heavens again. We'll cover that in chapter 12. So you have 2 options there, and we'll pick one when we get to chapter 12. Just know this, that chapter 9 of Revelation, when dealing with the 5th trumpet, deals with a particular angel that falls from heaven. Now, if you have a Bible that says descends from heaven, I'm afraid it's not the strongest possible translation. It is to fall. It is in a passive action that takes place. He has just been thrown out of somewhere. Okay? Kicked off someone's porch. All right? So, he falls from the heavens and to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Well, that supposes a couple of things. Number one, it supposes that there is a gate to this bottomless pit. It supposes that there's a geographical location. Maybe that's redundant. There's a location for this bottomless pit. All right, so look at verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit. So this angel that has the keys now, remember, the angel was given the keys to the bottomless pit. So if this is Satan, and I can't think of it, it's either Satan or one of the angels that's cast out with him, Okay, I don't know how else to say it. But if it's Satan, let's remind ourselves that the only thing he can do is what God allows him to do. Because Christ, who has the key, and I'll prove that to you in 2 weeks, he has the key to Hades. I'll prove to you it's the one who gives him the bottomless pit keys. When Christ gives Satan the keys, he is giving Satan for a short time the ability to open the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is mentioned in 3 chapters in Revelation. We'll look at them all in 2 weeks. So he opens the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. All right, I want to remind ourselves over here that we've already seen this smoke before. All right, we definitely know we've seen the day of the Lord before in chapter 6 of Revelation. So I'll put here Revelation 6 and now Revelation 9. Okay, it's a day of darkness. Look at verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. So we have smoke and we have darkness. Revelation 9. Pretty cool, huh? John's just using old material, folks. Okay. Look at verse 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. All right. So we have this locust happening in Revelation chapter number 9. Okay. Locusts came out of the earth, and unto them was given power as... I want to be careful how I read verse 3. Yeah, thank you, Greg. I appreciate it. I took phonics in the kindergarten. All right, so verse 3, and there came out... Thank God for bald people to make fun of me. So there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. I want to make sure that we're not reading something into the passage very carefully. What we read comes out of the bottomless pit is what? Smoke. Now, what I'm not clear on is whether the locusts come out of the smoke, in other words, the smoke draws the locusts from another location, or if these are demonic locusts of some type that come out of the bottomless pit and out of the smoke. So we'll try to answer that in a moment. Okay? We'll try to answer that in just a moment. Whether or not these are demonic, or if these are just a special breed of locust. I think the natural reading of the passage is that these are demonic, locust-appearing type things that come out of the bottomless pit. You might remember what I told you at the beginning of the lesson, that there was a particular type of angels that cohabited with women in the time of the flood, and they were put in chains in a particular place. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about why I believe that place was the bottomless pit and why I believe these are demonic. So two things that we're going to talk about in 2 weeks with the bottomless pit. One is that Jesus, when he took the keys to Hades, had the keys to the bottomless pit. And two, these locusts that are coming out of the bottomless pit are demonic. All right? And that these are those same angels that were put in chains right before Noah's flood. Remember, not all demons are chained, are they? And that's why I'm going to send you that lesson in the email so you can re-listen to it and understand there's a particular class of demons that are chained and that I believe this is their unchaining right here. Okay? There, I said it. So, verse 3. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass. So this is a difference. This is a difference. Remember in Joel, it was to eat up the grain so they couldn't offer their sacrifices. Here, totally different purpose. Joel 2, hurt the grain. Revelation 9, hurt the people. Okay? Look at verse 4. And it commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Well, let's just get something out of the way, shall we? Now I'll come back to that. I have time. We'll come back to verse 4. All right? Verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but have that they should be tormented 5 months, and that their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Well, my wife and I researched the lifespan of locusts, and guess how long it is? 5 months. 3 to 5 months, depending on the species. So, I'm not surprised that these locusts only do their deed for 5 months. Incidentally, in the book of Joel, it leads right up to the day of darkness or the day of the Lord. Remember that? The locust, destroying locust, leads straight up to the day of the Lord. Now, probably only half of you will get this, but I'm going to give it a shot anyway. We need to remember the day of the Lord was specifically, locally fulfilled for those Jews when Babylon came and took them captive. But we also need to remember that there was a telescopic view towards the end of time when the day of the Lord would affect many more people on a grander scale. The day of the Lord is prophetic language from the Old Testament. Now, why did I say half? Well, because the truth is, I'm sharing a lot of information here, and you may not catch it all. And that's why it's important that we're recording it and listening to it. All right, so verse 5, and I already talked about how they have 5 months of torment. Verse 6, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. They'll wish they could die from this torment, but they won't be able to die. It's not a fatal blow. Think about that. And death shall flee from them. Now look here. The shapes of the locusts were like what? Horses. That's interesting. Now we know why he's talking like this. And their heads were, as it were, crowns, or maybe at the appearance, maybe it was thorns, but the heads appeared like crowns. And their faces were as the faces of men, which is why I think that we might be dealing with more than just the strange, biologically produced, chemically produced locust breed. I don't know. But faces of men tells me we might have something more than that happening here, something demonic. They had hair as the hair of women. And look here, their teeth were what? Lion's teeth. I mean, he's just saying, let's talk about Joel for a minute. That's what he's doing here. This is good stuff. We're knowing that really most of Revelation, once again, is Old Testament material that John is saying, okay, we're about to see the ultimate fulfillment of most of this. Okay? Look at verse 9. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of what? Oh, my goodness. We're seeing all these parallels here, almost like God wrote the whole book. All right? It sounded like chariots. Many horses running the battle, and they had tails like unto scorpions that were stings, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in the Hebrew tongue Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. Apollyon means destroyer. So we have destroying locusts over which their leader is known as the destroyer. Now, I think it's natural to assume that the king over this bottomless pit is the one who had the key. But it's an assumption. I can't be sure of it yet. Do you see what I'm saying? We have one who is given the key to unlock the pit. He's an angel fallen from the heavens. And we have a king over these demonic locusts. And his name is Destroyer. So is this the same angel? I don't know. If I were had to guess today and you put a revolver up to my head, I'd roll my eyes and say, all right, they're the same guy. Okay, but I don't know. All right? Don't know. Verse 12, one woe is past. Remember, he's not stopping a horsey. It's a W-O-E. That's a distress signal. One woe is past, and behold, there are two more woes coming. Why? Because there's two more trumpets left. So that's where we're going to stop today. And first, let me show you a few artist renditions, if I could. There's the angel unlocking the bottomless pit and the smoke coming out of it. The locusts were instructed not to damage the earth's vegetation, no green plant, no tree, but to torment only the people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were committed to kill them, and not permitted to kill them, only to scourge them 5 months. The sting was like the sting of a scorpion. In those days, people will seek to die, will find no release. They will beg to die, but death will elude them. The locusts look like horses armed with teeth for battle. They have iron-like breastplates, and the sound of their wings is like the stampede of horses' hooves. When chariots charge into battle, they have tails resembling scorpions' tails, and their tails are loaded with stingers. They possess a brute force to torment humankind for 5 months. A king rules over them, the angel of the abyss, whose name is Hebrew, is Abaddon, but in the Greek Apollyon. One woe is past, and two more are to come. I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. So complete darkening of the sun and moon, right? Well, in chapter 9 and verse 2, the sun is there to be darkened, isn't it? Let's remind ourselves that the seals of Revelation are listed 1 through 7 because that's the order in which they were shown to John. Okay? It's not necessarily the order in which they occur. This is the fifth trumpet, and because this trumpet blocks the sun with its smoke, And the sixth seal, which occurs after the Great Tribulation, includes the darkening of the sun, then we have to assume that the fifth trumpet also is in the Great Tribulation. From our lesson on the 144,000, we learn there's a great probability that seals 4 and 6 will occur in and around Jerusalem. Notice the next one particularly. We also learned that in that lesson that the 144,000 were in some way related to Jerusalem. What am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. There is a possibility that this fifth trumpet occurs specifically and only around the land of Israel. The Jews around the land of Israel. Might notice, remember, where was this written to? The land, right? People in the land. We saw it twice in the book of Joel. Remember? So there's a possibility, because of what we learned in the lesson on 144,000, that we are dealing with something that takes place particularly around Palestine. Look at verse 4 of chapter 9. It was commanded these locusts that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God on their foreheads. Well, if so far in this book we've only seen that the 144,000 have the seal, then we have an issue. Because that all, not only does it mean that everyone else is getting stung, but it also means, since we decided that 144,000 really are male Jewish virgins, means that no women are being spared of the locust. No Gentiles are being spared of the locust. There's no saved people on the earth at all. And if there are, they're getting stung by the locust. That's why I'm willing to say it's probably localized just like the 144,000 are. Why? Because the 144,000 are brought into it as the exception to the plague. All right, now there's some questions that are come up right now. Maybe the wheels are spinning. You're thinking something like, well, wait a minute. Does that mean that everyone else in Jerusalem area is getting stung by these locusts? Yeah. Are you saying there's no saved people anywhere in that area? I'm saying that the saved people have left. Now, how do I know that? Well, maybe you're thinking rapture. I'm thinking something that Jesus said. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Okay? Remember, I'm willing to believe in a rapture. I just haven't seen one yet in the book of Revelation, in this timeline. I'm willing to believe that we're all gone, if you can show me in the scriptures. But if it, listen to this, listen to how this argument goes. If, let's just say, there is a pre-tribulation rapture and none of us are here, well, then that means the only people not getting stung are male Jews who've been sealed. If it's a worldwide thing.
Or people that are saved after the rapture.
Yeah, they're getting stung too, sister, because it only says that the 144,000 were sealed in their foreheads. So even people who are saved after the rapture are getting stung if we're dealing here with a worldwide problem. That's why I'm willing to say that it happens in and around Jerusalem. Let's add something else to our chart, like I haven't given you enough to think about. All right. This is fun, huh? I've just added a 5-month period here at the end of the tribulation period. 3.5 years is 3 years and 6 months, I think, right? And so if it's true that this fifth trumpet leads us up to the day of the Lord, or a day of darkness, which is the sixth seal, yes? Then I'm going to say that that 5-month period of torment is the last 5 months of the Great Tribulation period. Amen.